McWilliams Cyberline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. Hosts, 2020 at cyber-line.com, facebook.com/cyberlinenet, and of course the Tweety out there, Cyberline USA. Social media czarina, Amy Lynn, not only taking care of those, but also sent us a whole bunch of stuff to talk about tonight, too. This one, I just get a kick out of. And it's NASA, Russia, stressed that space partnership remains strong after Nauka incident at space station. Now, for those of you who tuned in late, following a serious incident at the International Space Station back on July 29th, Russia and the U.S. have reaffirmed their partnership and shared next steps to move forward. Now, again, for those of you who tuned in late, on Thursday, Russia's long-awaited NAKAO research module docked with the orbiting lab. Now, there was a module already there, and a Soyuz Progress ship took it and pulled it away, and then both of them went off into the atmosphere and burned up. Then NAKAO shows up and says, "Hello, little children, I'm coming to see you," said the big bear. And the docked with the orbiting lab, but the new module soon hit troubles as just a few hours after docking, its thrusters began to fire unexpectedly, pulling the module away from the station and causing the space station to lose what engineers call, quote, attitude control, spinning out of its normal orientation. So the ground teams from NASA and Roscosmos, which is a Russian agency, back on Earth, as well as seven astronauts stationed, worked quickly to remedy the station using countermeasures and posing thrusters from other parts of the station to push back to the proper orientation, and now the officials are speaking out about what needs to happen next and what this event says about the future of U.S.-Russian space collaboration in space. Both of them say that there doesn't appear to be any damage caused by the incident. Astronauts on board station were never in any danger. But, of course, Roscosmos has now shared that specialists will look further into the event and possible implications that it might have. So, Sergei Krikalev, Roscosmos Director of Crew's Space Program, emphasized the interview on Russian state television that, quote,
"It's up to specialists to assess and we have stressed station and what consequences are. The station is a rather delicate structure, and both the Russian and U.S. segments are built as light as possible. An additional load stressed the drivers' solar batteries and the frames they are mounted on. Specialists will analyze consequences, and too early to talk about how serious was, but is an unforeseen situation that, yeah, requires a very delicate story."
Oh, wow. Thanks, Sergei.
Yeah, thanks there, Sergei. Russian bear fires rocket, says, "I'm home, baby," and all hell breaks loose. So, over on the NASA side, they said that we expected Roscosmos to set up a commission to investigate the event, determine the root cause and impacts in the systems, and NASA has had its engineering teams reviewing station system of the event, and all the preliminary analysis shows of the station functioning normally, according to a boring NASA representative shared with referencing small comments made by the space station program manager, Joe Montalbano, after the incident. See, that's the problem. When NASA talks, it's policy wonk.
Yeah.
We expected Roscosmos to set up a commission to investigate. But see, when the Russians talk, you know,
it's up to the specialists to assess how we have stressed station and what consequences are.
See, that's the difference.
You want to talk about NASA? I show you NASA. You know what NASA stands for in Russia? What? Neither another seven astronauts. That's what it stands for in Russia. Big space joke.
Yeah, that's the Russians anyway. Now, Bill Nelson, who's the former senator that Biden has put in charge, and looks like he's about ready to tip over any day.
As with Biden.
Yeah, it looks like him and both are looking for the special, you know, medicine there to keep your mind sharp. And Bill Nelson has said there's been concern and everything, but he's confident in the ongoing collaborative relationship between the U.S. and Russian space.
Well, you know, I know that you and your team have been working around the clock in recent days to ensure that NACAL was safely docked and integrated into ISS operations, and I would like to commend you for your special efforts. Space operation, or space cooperation, continues to be a hallmark of U.S.-Russia relations, and I have no doubt that our joint work reinforces the ties that have bound our collaborative efforts over the many years.
Ja, now we share the vodka, comrade.
That's right. Now he's reiterated his confidence in the U.S.-Russian relations in space. His keynote address to the International Space Station Research and Development Conference. And there he says,
last week, we had a bit of an unplanned excitement with the docking of the Roscosmos New Science Laboratory module. Thankfully, our relationship with the Russians, which nobody killed one another, has continued and has been one of collaboration and partnership, and our ISS operations team was able to work with them.
And he also continued stating that we have worked and collaborated with the Russians for decades,
long before I even got this job handed to me as a perk.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's not in there.
But it ensures the safety of the crew and the return of the ISS to the correct attitude quickly. And also my check gets cashed.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's not in there either. But anyway, you get the point. So, you know, was it, everybody's talking, was it really planned? Was it a mistake? You know, some time ago, there was talk about the Russians, because the ISS got extended. They were talking about tearing it apart in 2020.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the Russians said, we want to take our modules and go somewhere else.
Okay, well, bigger than marbles, but yeah, I guess it could be done. And so they would take their modules, dock them, and go, I don't know, where are you going to put them? It's not like they can land on dry land or, you know, fall in the ocean or something without burning up. But that's what they were talking about. So I wonder maybe if, you know, this is the way of Russia to kind of nudge the ISS and say, guess what? We just want you to know we're still in charge. And to give Biden the old stare, you know, kind of stare the old man in the eye kind of thing. So you see what we can do to your space station? Imagine what we could do to your face.
A little bit of a space cold war.
That's right. A space cold war. Very cold in space. Like pinto beans and muffins. You will not be happy with what is in the refrigerator when we get through with you.
Oh, man. That's my breakfast. Pinto beans and muffins.
Well, the Russians seem to work on it as well. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird that happened. Oh, was it a mistake? Never mind the fact you're going to tore the whole place apart, but okay. But I don't know, man. The Russians, maybe they're just trying to send a clear message to Biden. It's like, you know, hey, just remember we're up here. And you know, some time ago, what was it? They rolled tanks into Georgia.
Oh,
and
really?
And it was right about the time when McCain and Obama were running for president.
Wow.
And I remember that. And there was talk about, well, what happens if, you know, we start having to deal with the Russians? We got people up on the station.
Yeah. Oh,
you go to neutral territories? What do we do? And we're still dependent on them, I think, to get up there.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we were still flying. I think the shuttle was still in flight. And so was the Soyuz capsules. You know, we jump around between the two of them. And that was a big stickler once the shuttle program ended. It's like, hey, the price keeps going up on the Soyuz when we go up there. But all they got to do is flip a switch and say, nobody goes to station, sucks to be you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't put it past them of them trying to make a little mark on the station, go, see what we can do?
You don't want to hack us off now, do you? Yeah, good. Sit down. Enjoy your experiment. Eat your pinto beans and muffins.
So, I don't know.
We're in a real tense position between Russia and China both kind of giving us this big stick stuff. Or at least trying to.
And also remember, we got SpaceX going up there now with people.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've kind of taken away that market from them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting the golden check. And if I recall, this module, because it says it's been 20 years in the making, they had an issue. We gave them money to build modules. And there was a big investigative report years ago that the Politburo, the higher people, whatever, didn't build the module. They kept delaying it, delaying it, delaying it. And they used the money to build these expensive houses for the rich politicals outside of Moscow.
Oh, great.
And the U.S. caught wind of it and said, you know what? We ain't giving you any more money. You've got an X amount of time to get this module up here or else. And I think that was the module that they slapped together and went up there that they just took away and burned up in the atmosphere. Because I remember them starting with the first module. What was it? Like 2000 or something like that. Pretty close.
Yeah.
And everybody was getting all their modules together. Where's Russians? Oh, I don't know, man. They keep putting it off. And I think 2020 or somebody, they had footage showing all these big old McMansions that they had built. So where'd the money come? Oh, the money come from a space program. We said, why build the module when you can house more people and more comfortably, you know? We take money and run, whatever. What you going to do about it? Huh? You want a piece of me? So they got on them and said, you know what? You better get your tail together. There better be something up here or else. And they had to scramble because they weren't getting any more funds. So this is the newer one that's replaced it. So, yeah, love playing with the Russians.
That's always a great
putting
time.
Putting on the Ritz again. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Nice little song and dance with them.
Yeah, there you go. And poor Uber and Lyft. The prices are high, the wait times are longer, and drivers are scarce. That whole thing with the labor, a lot of people don't want to drive.
Yeah, I was doing Uber Eats for a while, and back when, this is like before COVID, it was really competitive at the time, but
yeah.
Since then, it seems like I see the same few people, because I work in food, so I always see like the same few people doing that. And that being said, I'm young, I drink. Sometimes I want to take an Uber or a Lyft home, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes me like 45 minutes to get a driver.
And have your Panda Express waiting for you in the back of the Uber Eats.
Yeah, exactly. And it's cold.
So was that profitable for you?
Not at all. Actually, I ran my car into the ground. And I also, basically, I made my gas money back. And any car repairs I had to do, I had to take out from my savings. I kind of ran out of savings.
Yeah.
It kind of forced me into a real job again.
Well, I thought about doing it, but they said, you know, the car has to meet certain criteria and stuff in order to do Uber. But I was like, well, wait a minute.
Your car totally would.
I can do it for Uber Eats because, you know, I don't have to meet that criteria. I'm just hauling food.
Oh, your car would totally do both.
Oh, yeah. So be able to do that. By the way, how's the bumper situation?
The bumper situation?
Yeah. How long before we got to fire off?
Bumper, we have 2 minutes.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure you weren't potted down and we missed it.
Oh, no, we're good.
Talking so long about
all
this
stuff.
Yeah,
it's just a long segment.
But yeah, in fact, Uber had a big to-do about their money. They reported earnings and had said something about, well, we lost all this money and everything, and they took a charge off because they can't get any drivers. And so they're losing money left and right. And, of course, a lot of them are upset because there's certain fees like Los Angeles and other places that are real hot where they come on board and promised them all this stuff, and Uber starts slashing their pay.
Yeah, I know.
They're taking more of the cut. And so they said, well, the good news is we lost money on that side. Hey, but Uber Eats, you know, that really did it for us. It's really been the cat's meow. But then you look at the numbers and go, well, wait a minute. This doesn't look right. I don't think it pulled you out. I think you're just as bad with or without it.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing Uber Eats nowadays, but
yeah,
in my area, like I said, I see the same couple of people over and over again. They're really on a hustle because they're not making a whole lot. Like, people, if they tip at all, Uber, you know, they take the rest of it, and you basically get $4 off of something that you had to drive about 15 minutes for.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, I tried Uber Eats when I was taking care of my stepmom, so I really couldn't go out much.
Yeah.
And so I would grab something, and I got, like, Jersey Mike's at first, and I actually had, Genghis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually brought food over, and it cost about as much as going to the restaurant.
Yeah.
I probably could have got more out of it. But yeah, once you add on the fees and then you add on the tip, and then you're kind of like, well, I don't know. This is pretty expensive. Do I really want to pay this? Oh, and then what we really found out when we really, really needed them.
Yeah.
In February.
Oh, yeah.
All the ice.
That was the best.
Nobody's talking to nobody.
Oh, you know what's real funny is whenever I was working at McDonald's, we'd have people who would do an Uber order for just one drink, which, you know, a drink is a dollar at McDonald's, any size. These people basically be spending $6 on a McDonald's drink.
Good Lord.
They do it daily.
Yeah, I remember I could even get a pizza and pouring down snow. Welcome to Texas. All right, final minutes when we get back. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline. McWilliams Cyberline with you. Not going to get anything out right now. It's the last few minutes. So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to everybody who contacted me via email and I don't know what all that celebrated me on my 40th anniversary in broadcasting. And I'm like, dude, I don't feel like I've been in this for 40 years. But nonetheless, I was. And so like I said, last week I celebrated, had a little Jim Beam, had a lot of German chocolate cake.
Good stuff.
Made Charlie Jones jealous because that is the favorite cake of both of us. And just kind of enjoyed it, reflected, and thought about where I've been and where I'm going and all of the other things in between that have happened. And, of course, I think it was Tuesday while all this is going on. The Texas Association of Broadcasters Convention in San Antonio was going, and I think I have not been to one in quite some time. I used to be a member in the beginning, and so I haven't been. And, of course, Amy Bishop was there. We had her on a couple months ago about the 100th anniversary of WRR.
Right.
And turns out not only this past week at WRR had their anniversary, but the Cultural Bathhouse Center in Dallas, it's moved, the whole exhibit we talked about is moved around. And now you can go to the Cultural Bathhouse Center. They just got it set up and everything. And on the day of the 100th anniversary of WRR AM, signing on all those years ago, you know, they have that marquee that goes along the side of the Omni Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And they always put up, like, when the Mary Kay convention comes, you know, welcome Mary Kay, you know, in pink or whatever. And they had rolled across WRR 100 years.
Oh, that's cool.
And so all that night in red, this thing is going. I've got a picture of it. I'm going to put it up on the Facebook page. So they, I don't know what they did with the ball, because generally they'll program the Reunion Tower ball to do stuff at the same time as that rollover cascades. And that was a really nice touch. I thought that was very nice. And so, like I said, you know, I've been kind of looking over things and thinking about stuff and things that might have been and all that. You know, you get that way. And I just can't believe it's 40. And I go back and I look at it and I go, really? No. And I do the math and go, well, yeah, okay. Guess it is. And a couple of the people who are retired are sending me stuff going, hey, wait till it's 50 and you can come be with us. Get to do what you want. Don't have to do that no more. And I generally hung with people that are 20, 30 years older than me, especially in this business. And a lot of them started retiring. And I'm kind of like, dude, what are you doing? What do you mean you want to retire? God, look, man, the whole thing has changed. We don't have to do radio anymore. We can do it from our houses. We can do podcasts. Come on, where you going?
That's the good stuff.
That's what you're still talented. You can still make some golf money. Come on. I sit here by myself going, man, all the kids are leaving in the playground. And then I turn around and it's like, ding, hello, welcome to 40. Like, oh, no, I'm leaving the playground. Well, I'm still in the playground. I just probably can't handle some of the, you know, I can't climb the monkey bars anymore. That carousel thing where you hang off of until you fall dizzy and fall off.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite.
Can't handle that anymore. So the playground is getting a little bit, they're childproof friendly, but now for the elderly, not so much. So got to watch what I do there. But anyway, great shout out to everybody who sent me emails and well wishes and texts and stuff on celebration my 40th. And so there's some things that'll be coming along. Can't talk about them right now because we're still in a planning stage. But I'm going to be doing something new with the network.
Ooh, exciting.
And I'm looking forward to it. And we'll know in a couple weeks because I've got to make some room for some things. And I'm going to try it out and see how it goes. So, with that said, I will be out of town next week. I will be going to Research Engineers Chris's memorial service, which now after a year and a half, we're finally having one in Round Rock. So, Video Bob and the McMuffin,
that's me,
will both be doing the show next week. And so be nice to them, and you'll probably hear a lot of neat things and stuff, just like you do with all of us together.
That's right.
And I'll have some stories about Chris probably when I get back. So, until then, in the words of the great immortal Orson Welles, we remain, as always, obediently yours. Good night. And Iggy, take me home!
You got it.